Good morning. Hey, hey.
Good evening, everyone.
And hello.
Hello. We've got a... either Chris has got a very bad cold, or we've got someone else in the studio.
Yeah. It is the second one. Chris, we think he's healthy at the moment.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe he's not. Maybe that's not why he's...
Maybe he's recently fallen
off. We don't know. He's just... He has just not shown
fallen
up.
Off the radar.
Yep.
Hopefully my voice isn't is familiar enough, because I'm on the range normally with Casey on Thursdays.
Oh yeah, the range.
And you are back, of course, for people who don't know, and there wouldn't be that many of you. This is Joel that you're hearing. He's not normally part of the left, right, and centre team, but he's joining us this evening. Joel's backing up from hosting the Outer Limits a couple of hours ago.
Yeah,
and he'll be joining us in this hour.
And if you think I'm better than Chris.
Yeah, if you think Joel is better than Chris tonight, ring in on 8303 5000. Let us know, and maybe we'll just kick him off.
Or maybe let us know on the Facebook group, something.
Yeah,
yeah.
Tonight on the left, front, and centre, what have we got?
We're going to talk about space.
We're also going to talk about Gatesgate. If you don't know what that is,
we've just made up a word.
No, we haven't.
No, we've added on a very popular suffix to an existing word.
No, Gatesgate is official. We haven't made this up. This is something that's been created by reputable media sources, can I just say.
And we're going to talk about it.
If you type Gatesgate into Wikipedia, it comes
you
up
come
with
up
what
with
we're talking
news.
About.
News.com.au or?
No.
Or Wikipedia.
On Wikipedia, you type in Gatesgate and you come up with exactly what we're talking about. But the good people out there don't know yet, and they're going to have to hang on and find out.
And a little bit later on, we'll have Game Show. Joel doesn't know what that is yet, but...
Neither do the listeners, so...
Neither do the listeners,
stay tuned.
And now, Tim, you noted space aficionado.
Or as I've affectionately dubbed it, the awesomest frontier.
Yes, space, the awesomest frontier. Essentially, we're going to have a discussion about funding of space programs, because, I mean, this has obviously been in the news recently. Last week, we had the 40th anniversary
of the moon landing.
Not great with mental arithmetic, but 40th anniversary of the first moon landing.
It's not mental arithmetic, that's just the number.
Well, it's what, 2009 take 1,960?
Yep.
That's a lot of numbers. Anyway, I wouldn't be great as an engineer, so be glad that's not
my... That's why you're not one.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah, but we're gonna, there was an awful lot of discussion there because, obviously, Buzz, the three men who were on the Apollo 11 mission, I'm one of very few people who can name all three, Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins was the third.
Can I just stop you and say there's a reason no one knows, because it's not interesting. I mean, there's a lot of glory attached to being the first man on the moon. Buzz Aldrin has attached his own glory to being the second man on the moon.
The second does come right after being first.
That's true, and also he's made a name for himself because he's...
By rapping.
He's quite crazy. But no one knows who the third man is.
Well, the point is that Michael Collins didn't actually go to the moon.
No.
He was in the command module while the lunar module went to the surface. Anyway, all three of them were at the, had some media exposure. And I think what I certainly noted was Buzz Aldrin has always been quite active in the media. And, of course, we heard earlier in the outro to break it down just before his song...
Rocket Experience.
Yes. But Neil Armstrong was also came out, and I think one of the messages they all wanted to get across was they thought that the current objectives for space exploration from NASA were too low, and primarily at the moment they're aiming on landing on the moon by, I think, 2014 is their current plan, and they're working through the program to do that. And I think the consensus of those three, of Collins, Armstrong, and Aldrin, was that they're setting the sights too low. And many people, however, think that the sights are too high, that we shouldn't be spending that kind of money on going to the moon.
How do these guys have a right to decide what our space program should be just because they went there? They're not...
Well, I think you've answered your own question there, Casey.
I mean,
they have some expertise.
Yeah,
I've caught the bus before. That doesn't mean I have the right to set the bus agenda for the next 20 years.
But you didn't drive the bus.
Yeah, well,
sorry.
A point well made. But I think the point is more that these people, as being so significant in the history of the program, do have a much better soapbox, if not vantage, if you'll forgive the small distinction between the two words I've just used. They have a good soapbox to talk about, this is where we think it should be going, and they're trying to provide some little impetus behind developing the program. But obviously, I don't think there would be the public support for that in the United States because of the budget catastrophe that country is in. And that's something I think that is quite... I'm quite unhappy about that, because I think space exploration not only does it provide things like for massive nerds like me to while
to
hours away
them over.
Yeah, I don't know if that's an actual word, Casey. But to look at, for hours and hours and hours and dream about. But I'm also of the strong belief that space programs are actually very important to the progression of of humanity, and not just space programs, but investment in sort of.
Well, we are going to lose this Earth soon because we've destroyed it.
Not even. That's not even what I'm talking about. Like, well, I don't know.
Even in the meantime, a lot of the technology that they kind of make on that kind of scene moves down into lower levels, like nanotechnology and that kind of stuff.
And we wouldn't have the space pen without the space program. So where would we be without NASA?
I don't.
Right. Okay. So basically, the.
Do you know how awesome the space pen is? Sorry, I'll
hold on. Can I? I'm sorry. This is something.
It's upside down.
This is something that really riles me. Is this story about the space pen? Okay. And this is almost a perfect demonstration of what I'm talking about. The space pen was the classic story is when the United States was faced with the problem that gravity couldn't be used to make a pen lay ink on paper in space. NASA invested, I think, in the order of $10 million dollars at the time, which is quite a significant sum of money, in developing a pen that could work in zero gravity. And the point everybody makes is, well, the Russians faced with the same problem used a pencil. Well, like, you know, it's a nice little joke, but I actually think that that's a perfect demonstration of this space age pen has become an industry within itself.
No, it's made how much profit?
Exactly, and that's precisely the kind of thing I'm talking about. Anyway, I'm sorry I trampled over you earlier, Matteo. Go on.
I was going to say, if I can still remember, it was quite some time ago now, that the purpose of space exploration, I would say it's dual-fold, Tim. You said it yourself. Basically, it is to explore these frontiers and to excite, you know, all these nerds, because it is amazing. It's amazing, really, what we're finding out. Whilst at the same time, just we haven't forgotten. Basically, it excites sort of, you know, humanity as a whole. It's a cause everyone can get behind as well. But I would say that, especially in times like these, where you alluded to a budgetary catastrophe in the United States, they certainly can't afford to be spending these sums of money on certainly things that aren't trivial. Space travel is not trivial, but I think there are, you know, domestic welfare programs. You can name them. That so many of them that really I think deserve the money more.
Mm. Yeah, but I don't think it's a game whereby I suppose it's a zero-sum game, but that you can have some level of middle ground. And I've always been a strong believer in investment in things like not just, you know, space programs, which has given us, you know, the modern computer, the global positioning system, important operations with important civilian applications. But I think this is an argument that could also be applied to military investment. A lot of people are very, there's always the clamour, if we spent every dollar we spent on the, you know, space, spent every dollar it spent on the military on foreign aid, then we would solve all the world's problems.
With the military, though, you spend put funding into the military. And you might be developing some kind of industry that will help in the civilian sector, but you're also serving to kill people.
Yeah.
Whereas if you go into space, all you're doing is being awesome.
Okay. Well, actually, that's a very good point. I don't think I still support, you know, funding for the military, but you haven't convinced me there, I'm afraid, Casey. No, but you make a good point. This is a reason why there's all the more reason to invest in space programs. I think what's interesting here is that the United States have got sort of a George Bush at a period very low polls, pioneered what's called the Vision for Space Exploration policy, which has got a whole heap of plans essentially compelling the United States to establish permanent bases on the moon by 2020 or 2024.
Yeah, something like that. It's been pushed back a little bit now, but yeah.
Yeah, and to try, you know, make efforts to organize a mission to Mars. But obviously this is in trouble now because the Democrats control Congress and there's been significant reviews set up of NASA's funding, which will report within the year, I believe.
Because there isn't much money left. But I would say I would contest that space exploration is analogous to defense spending, because defense spending, you certainly argue, would be necessary. Well, not even an evil. Not everyone will call it an evil, because there are people out there who are, you know, effectively trying to sort of attack us, invade, whatever. But there really isn't that threat at all coming from space. And so trickle down technology, you know, all that stuff, be that as it may, so, you know, a decade or two in the future, it's not necessary spending. And there are those who argue that there is necessary spending that's being foregone because of money that goes into the space program instead. Now, you know, America, it's all well and good for Americans. You know, they all love space exploration because America's at the vanguard of it. But I think if it's demonstrated to them that it's money being taken away from other sectors, Tim, as you said, it's a zero-sum game. I don't know. Maybe they wouldn't be so enthusiastic.
You can make the same argument about so many other sectors as well. If you're going to take money from the space program, you've got to take money from the military. You've got to take money from...
Well, yeah, and actually, I'd like to retract something I said before. I actually don't think it is a zero-sum game. I think there's an awful lot to be said, and this is certainly something that's true in the United States, contracting for these kinds of projects for space exploration, for military investment, boost the economy, and I think it's an area can be a very effective form of public investment, not only to invest in the economy in the short term, but also to put money into research and development programs for long term advancement of the human race.
Think of all the engineers that'd be out of a job.
Not just engineers. Anyway,
maybe I'll just say to finish off that in a time when people think that America shouldn't look outside its own borders too much, or instead looking to space.
Keen listeners will remember a few weeks ago when I basically said that despite my car's shortcomings, I'm still fond of it. At this point, I'd like to make it perfectly clear that I have in fact revised this opinion. I really, really hate my car. Something is almost always cripplingly wrong with it, and when I get it fixed, it doesn't even say thank you. Granted, that is due to the manufacturers rather than the car itself, but that makes it no more comforting. Anyway, this morning I started the engine. No problem. After reversing about 10 meters, everything stopped, and these fell out from under the bonnet. As it turns out, I've lost the bearings from the front wheel, and need $300 to fix it. Not being in possession of that amount of money, I am now without a car, the upside of which is that until it gets fixed, I now get to keep all of the money I earn, rather than spending it on my car, but the downside of which is that I can't go to work to earn money. Touché, car.
Yeah. At 23 past midnight, you're listening to Left, Right and Centre with Casey, Tim, Matteo and special guest Joel. Are you ready for this, guys?
We're ready.
Oh, yeah.
A dispute over the rights to a popular yodeling song has made it all the way to a Munich court. The Kussstein song, which contains a yodeling section, is a favourite on German television and in pubs. The song was written by Austrian composer Karl Ganzer, whose family claimed to own the performance rights. However, music publisher Egon Frauenberger says his alteration of the song makes him deserving of all royalties. Frauenberger claims that his changes in the 1960s were responsible for it becoming one of Europe's most well-known folk songs. However, the judge and jury did not side with him, instead ruling in the favour of Mr. Ganser's heirs, and furthermore that all profits from the song go to the family. So guys, do you think the Ganser family will be shouting, or rather yodeling, from the rooftops about this verdict?
I really couldn't care less.
No, neither could I.
I could only ever picture this verdict as being delivered, you know, in like a musical type way.
Is that why... Why did you suggest this story? This is a really bad story.
No, it's... Oh, well... It's weird.
It's a story about it's just the yodeling, isn't it?
Essentially, it is just the yodeling, yes, that separates it from any other...
Like, any other rights
from any other intellectual rights story.
Yeah. This is possibly the worst story we've ever done on this segment.
I don't think so.
No, that's not true.
No.
You guys didn't like the...
Although, to be fair, you were responsible for the other terrible one.
About the chocolate one?
No, about the midgets.
No, that was the best one.
That was not cool.
Anyway. Right, move on.
Officials in an eastern Indian state said on Thursday that local farmers have asked their unmarried daughters to plough parched fields naked in a bid to embarrass the weather gods into badly needed monsoon rain. Witnesses said the naked girls of Bihar state ploughed while chanting ancient hymns to invoke the gods and were helped to drag the ploughs by elderly village women. Upendra Kumar, a village council official, said this is the most trusted social custom in the area and the villagers have vowed to continue this practice until it rains very heavily. India suffered its driest start to a monsoon season for 8 decades, causing drought in some states. Guys, don't you think that if this is successful, it sets a dangerous precedent for others in drought-affected countries to follow?
Well, firstly, I'd say correlation doesn't imply causation. I don't have extensive meteorological knowledge, but I'm pretty sure naked girls ploughing the fields doesn't cause it. Now, this is quite seedy. Like, that's the word I would use. This is quite an insidious sort of plot. But
it's their most trusted social custom, too.
says
it's
who?
Fine. Say the men.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, look, the way I figure, if it gets to be another 5 years, we're still in the midst of, you know, a really heavy drought, we can't think of anything, well then, if it means having our women plough naked...
Equal opportunity. Let's get some of the men out there, too.
Not too many. Not too many. Select men.
Sure.
Yeah.
A rodent-eating snake and a hamster have developed an unusual bond at a Tokyo zoo. Last October, zookeepers presented the rat snake with the hamster to eat. However, the snake refused the rodent, and the pair now share a cage, with the hamster sometimes falling asleep on top of its predator. A zookeeper at the Mutsugoro Okoku Zoo said that he had never seen anything like it. The hamster named Gohan, which is Japanese for meal, was initially offered to Al-chan because the snake refused to eat frozen mice. Another zookeeper said, I don't think there's any danger. Al-chan seems to enjoy Gohan's company very much. Guys, this is all well and good and very cute, but surely there isn't much hope for a snake that doesn't understand the food chain?
Is this a vegetarian snake? I think it's a vegetarian carnivore here.
No, it's a beautiful love story. That's what we got, Conan. Yeah. The question is, did he really refuse to eat the frozen other hamsters, or was it a case that he also loved them? I mean, does this... Mm. We don't know if this snake has ever eaten, you know...
Yeah, it's hard for us to say.
I would surmise from the fact that it's alive that it has eaten at some
point. Yeah, but
it's
now...
I'm starting to think of Farthing Wood here. Were the snakes good guys in there?
But it's undergone some sort of change of heart. It's become conscientious.
Maybe it doesn't speak Japanese, you know?
Maybe it doesn't speak Japanese. And I also like very much that the hamster's called Gohan. Of course, it's an actual word. It's a joke amongst the zookeepers, but to us, it's another joke.
Yeah. I wonder if it had the name before... It made friends with a snake, or only...
They wouldn't have named them that.
I'm almost certain they never had a name before.
I think it's just a lucky coincidence.
Just call them all Gohan. Or Goku.
Britain's advertising watchdog has criticised a saucy radio advert for sausages that encourage listeners to reveal, quote, where you like to stick yours. The ads for Madison Smoked Sausages elicited 21 complaints from listeners who were offended by the supposed sexual innuendo.
Madison Smoked Pork Sausage. You've all been telling me where you like to stick it. Jenny certainly let her imagination run riot.
Hello, it's Jenny from Aberdeen. I stick mine in a nice warm casserole, but some evenings when I'm alone, I like to stick it in my pasta salad.
I wondered what she was going to say there.
The Advertising Standards Authority did not uphold the complaints about the innuendo because it was not sexually explicit, but admitted the ads could cause harm to children, eventually ruling the ads should be broadcast at times children are likely to hear them. Guys, at the risk of falling for extremely cheap innuendo, where do you like to stick yours?
Oh, Casey.
So I'll put my hand up and admit that I was liable for that line. I couldn't really think of anything. Actually, funny, the story's come up because Joel and I just earlier today were actually...
You're sticking things?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, let me explain myself.
Eating
sausages perfectly innocently. It was very innocuous. It was just at the university. And we certainly weren't thinking about the repercussions that it could have had.
No, definitely not at all.
We weren't thinking about where we like to stick ours.
Why did you tell that story?
To fill airtime.
No. I think the point, the funny part of the ruling was that I think that one of the rulings they said was that younger children, the innuendo would just go completely over their heads, but sort of older, like, you know, preteen children,
12-year-olds,
yeah, would understand, and that's why
it
would
find it hilarious,
and that's why it would damage them.
So so it should be shown, you know, in kindergarten times and then late at night.
Exactly.
The annual crowning of a goat as King of Ireland at one of the country's oldest fairs is in jeopardy after organisers said that the head of the throne may be prevented from travelling to the festival. Traditionally, a male goat is caught in the mountain of Kerry in Southern Ireland and paraded through the town of Killorglan, where he reigns for the 3 days of the Puck Fair, a centuries-old festival of drinking, dancing and music. However, this year's chosen animal could only get a 4-day licence for the trip south of the border. Puck Fair chairman Declan Mangan said that the time is fast running out for the goat catcher to find a replacement for the fair, which always falls on August 10 to 12. However, the panic could end up being good news for one lucky goat, with Mangan saying, if you're a goat here in the mountains of Kerry, you could well end up being the King of Ireland for the 3 days of Puck. Guys, I think this is a serious issue. We shouldn't kid ourselves otherwise, but what could happen to Ireland between the 10th and 12th of August?
Kid ourselves otherwise. Very good.
Yeah, Tim, can I just ask, what would happen to Ireland between the 10th and 12th of August if they didn't have a goat elected as their king?
Firstly, kings aren't elected.
Coronated, sorry.
And secondly, I would question whether this is... What sort of a king only has a 3-day term per year?
Tasty one.
Yeah, well, exactly. Like, what do they do afterwards? Do they? You don't need goat, do they?
And if the King of Ireland can't get a visa, you know, to move somewhere, how am I going to get one to go overseas, you know?
Exactly.
That's another story, though.
Yeah. I do like how the chairman ended up effectively advertising to a goat. If you are a goat here in the mountains of Kerry...
Applications welcome.
You could also end up being the King of Ireland.
Wildlife officials in India plan to build a special school to improve the behaviour of delinquent monkeys. The aim is to target monkeys that pose a serious threat to humans in the state of Punjab as they move into towns and cities searching for food. It's not uncommon for the monkeys to attack humans as they forage for food. Other bad behaviour includes terrorising children, snatching food from children and destroying property. The government has asked India's Central Zoo Authority for funds to build the country's first monkey rescue and rehabilitation centre, which would take in the worst offenders and put them through a quote-unquote crash course in good manners. The proposed rehabilitation centre would replace a now-defunct holding facility, or jail, for monkeys previously located on the same site. Guys, so long as this centre promotes rehabilitation instead of punishment, it seems a good idea, right? Harm minimisation?
Not really. Talk about exorbitant wastes of money. Just talking about the space program. At least you get something to show for that. What do you get? Well-behaved monkeys?
Less monkey-related fatalities, Tim.
Please don't ever use that phrase again. Monkey-related fatality.
I can just imagine the monkeys in little convict suits with the arrows on them. Little tiny hats. Yeah. Good story.
Going around with chains attached to their feet.
Two middle-aged Swedish tourists expecting the golden beaches of the Italian island of Capri got a shock when they found themselves 650 kilometres off course in the northern town of Carpi, thanks to a GPS blunder. The couple, who were not identified, only discovered their error when they asked staff in Carpi's tourist office how to find the famous Blue Grotto, a Capri landmark. Giovanni Medici, a spokesman for the Carpi regional government, said it's hard to understand how they managed it. I mean, Capri is an island. It's the first time something like this has ever happened. They were surprised, but not angry. They got back in the car and started driving south. Capri's been a picturesque holiday destination for centuries, while Carpi's a busy industrial town. Guys, I guess this shows that we shouldn't put so much faith in modern technology, right? NASA's not all they're cracked up to be.
Oh, well, I wouldn't blame NASA for the GPS.
I love exactly how baffled the spokesman for the Carpi regional government was. Like, I don't understand how this happened. I mean, they were going to an island. We're just a regional town.
We just smelt iron.
Surely it would be a problem with the directions that people were giving. Not the GPS. GPS wouldn't get that kind of stuff wrong.
Well, it would if they entered where they were going wrong.
Yeah.
They entered their destination incorrectly.
I think the message is dyslexic
error.
People shouldn't use technology.
Yeah.
At all, of any sort. Yeah.
A stray snake brought Parliament to a standstill for several hours in India's Orissa state last Thursday, Reuters reports. A cleaner spotted the intruder, believed to be a king cobra, while sweeping in the morning and called the Assembly's watchman. The Speaker of the Assembly adjourned the House as security personnel joined wildlife officials, a member of a local snake helpline, and a sniffer dog in attempting to find the snake. The search was unsuccessful. Wildlife experts say that snakes are straying more frequently into built-up areas because construction has driven them out of their natural habitats. Guys, this is just one more snake in Parliament, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thing.
Could be a movie.
No, not really.
Snakes in the Parliament.
That's our second snake-related story for tonight. They might be.
It's like our fifth one for the last month, I think.
Is it because they're always funny, or because
it's because they're becoming more human? Well, there's actually an animal invasion going on. We had four animal stories last week.
Yeah,
was it three or four today?
I mean, at least I did trivialise the monkey rehabilitation program, but at least I think that's a genuine effort to engage with our new animal overlords.
The olive branch of.
Yeah, pretty much. This is just monkey and snake related, all our animal stories. But I did like the line about one more snake in Parliament. We are going to talk about Gategate. It's
can we never use that again, please?
No, I'm going to use it in every applicable situation. Gategate.
It's worse than Utegate.
Oh, it's not quite as bad as Dodgygate, but anyway.
No, I'd say it's worse / better because it's just the same word repeated. Anyway, Henry Louis Gates Jr., he's a Harvard professor. He's an African-American Harvard professor. He recently returned...
Hang on. That's not relevant, surely.
It's... Okay, I'll continue
now. Why do you need to bring in the man's race?
Why don't I need to bring in
the
race?
If you let the man finish.
Yeah. He was arrested about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, outside his home in Cambridge, Massachusetts, charged with disorderly conduct because he was... returning home from overseas with his driver, and his front door wouldn't open. His house's front door wouldn't open. Gates actually suspected that someone had attempted to break in whilst he was away, and thus the lock was broken. So he went around the back, and eventually got the front door open. They forced it open, and he was arrested because actually someone called the police on suspicion there was a burglary taking place. The police report initially stated that the caller, Lucia Whalen was the name, observed two black males with backpacks entering the property. A subsequent audio recording that's been released of the 911 call said that when pressed by the operator to actually determine the race of the intruders, she actually very tentatively said, oh, maybe one of them is Hispanic. So this actually wasn't part of it initially. And basically he was arrested by Sergeant Crowley, who is obviously in the middle of this mess. And he was arrested for disorderly...
Oh, hang on, I'd say the man who was arrested is in the middle of it.
Oh, well, we can have two people in the middle of it.
Anyway,
how about that?
Yeah, Gates was arrested for disorderly conduct because there are conflicting accounts, but apparently he was quite belligerent upon his arrest because he thought that he had been arrested for nothing. But of course, this story took on a whole new life of its own after it was, published in all sorts of publications. Barack Obama was asked about it in a press conference, And, yeah, and he said, look, the Cambridge police acted stupidly in arresting somebody when there was already proof they were in their home. Mm. Now, interestingly, Obama said that he was pressed about this, and he said, I don't know all the facts about this, which maybe should have precluded him from saying anything, and also that Gates is a personal friend of his. But there you go. But yeah, of course, it's all kind of hit the fan now. Reverend Al Sharpton, very, very responsible man, has said that this incident was one of police abuse or racial profiling, and that it was outrageous and unbelievable.
Mm.
So I'm just wondering what we all think about this.
Yeah, well, I think, look, for me, there's two points here to talk about. Firstly, racial profiling, and especially its use in the United States. And I think, I mean, I'm sure you can have raging discussions about racial profiling, and they'd be very, very interesting, but I think there's probably a consensus on the panel here that we're not okay with that.
No, of course not.
Essentially, I don't know, for those who don't know, the act of a police officer should not be able to subject somebody to a search or an arrest with race as being in any way...
Effectively based on a stereotype.
Well, not as being in any way sort of... a part of that decision. You can't stop somebody in the street, you know, because they're black and they're walking around suspiciously. Yeah. That can't weigh in it. But that would under racial profiling. But the other issue for me is it's sort of Obama, who has up to this point been quite considered in his comments, and especially during the campaign, it was extraordinary. I think there was a single slip up, which was this comment about middle America, or middle lower case America being bitter and clinging to their guns and their religion. With that exception, he made no slip ups, to the best of my knowledge. And I think this is another one of those rare examples where he's said something that, you know, he shouldn't have said. But you know, I don't know whether there's the sort of this particular issue is the kind of thing that will start up a dialogue of him being reckless.
Well. Yeah, I mean, you wonder whether the whole thing's been unfairly, really sensationalised and blown up, and whether Obama, to some extent, feels that way as well, or whether you think that because it has been made news that it is obviously worth reporting. I mean, you know, that the audio said, you know, the woman didn't even identify him as black.
Just because something happens, though, doesn't make it news.
Mm. Yeah, but that's so much discussion, a lot of it incoherent. Has arisen from this. I mean, is what it's done just brought still latent tensions to the fore?
There are different elements to it. I think the fact that we, for the first time, have a black president and he has taken on this debate, I think, has also brought it in. And, the couple of days before this, Obama gave a speech to the NAACP.
Yeah.
About racial issues in the United States. So, you know, I think this has come to a head, and I think it's brought up quite an interesting issue. And it's the problem with racial profiling in the United States is they are practiced. It's practiced quite often, and there are very few movements within law enforcement in the United States against that. And if it were to be stopped, it would have to be done constitutionally by the Supreme Court. And I think that would be unlikely.
Yeah, and well, African-American racial profiling is it's probably not even as prominent as, say, Arabic-American racial profiling, which you'd say it's even worse, and you'd find it'd be a rare politician in the United States who would actually speak out against Arabic-American racial profiling. But what I find interesting in this is I think just how reckless Gates himself has been in this. According to the police report, when arrested, he said, you know, he questioned it, saying, oh, why? Because I'm a black man in America. And now he's saying that he has plans to release perhaps a documentary about police mistreatment of blacks in the United States. I would say instead, this man's been an academic for some 30 years, and he said that the goal in all of his academic publications has been to smoothen race relations, not exacerbate them. Well, then why has it taken him effectively the better part of 3 decades, and only when the issue's about him, to actually, you know, really kick up a fuss and make it an issue at all?
It seems like he didn't really handle the situation in the best way, and this wouldn't really... I'm not going to suggest that he... Some people might suggest that he perhaps exacerbated it so that it would become an issue.
Mm, that he incited it a little bit.
Because you'd think he would know not to kick up such a fuss, cooperate with the police, then it would not be an issue because he's not breaking the law.
The point he would make is that he believes that he was asked for ID and he was subjected to suspicion that he would not have been subjected to if he were white. That he were the victim of racial profiling, and under those circumstances, you know, I certainly in his position wouldn't be complying with that, like as a point of principle. I'm afraid. Well, I'm actually quite glad that I'll get to the last word on that. I think that's should be a left, right, and centre rule. So what are we going to have now, Casey?
This.
Now, according to an avalanche of literally phone calls, our Aesop's Fable section a few weeks ago went down quite well. With that in mind, we've decided to retain it, having been unable to get clearance to use the fables The Horse and the Loaded Ass, or The Ass, the Cock, and the Lion, due to mature content. We've been forced to use one of our lesser-known fables. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome to Aesop's Radio Fables, with me, Aesop. Tonight's fable is The Dog Invited to Supper. A rich gentleman invited a nobleman to dine with him, and extraordinary preparations were made for the repast. At the same time, the gentleman's dog met the nobleman's dog, and he too said, "Come, my good fellow, and sup with us tonight." The nobleman's dog was delighted with the invitation, and arrived early to watch preparations for the feast. "What a splendid meal this will be," he said to himself. "What good luck! I'll revel in the delicious food, and I'll take good care to store away a few things tonight, for I may have nothing to eat tomorrow." As he said this to himself, he wagged his tail and gave a sly look to his friend who had invited him. But his wagging tail caught the cook's eye, and he immediately grabbed the strange dog by the legs and threw him out of the window. When the dog landed on the ground, he began yelping and running down the street. Thereupon, the neighbor's dogs ran up to him and asked him how he had liked his supper. "To tell you the truth," he said with a sorry smile, "I hardly know, for we drank so much that I can't even tell you how I got out of the house." And the moral of this story is, those who enter through the back door can expect to be shown out through the window. This has been Aesop's Fables, with me, Aesop. Good night.
We've got 9, 8 minutes and 13 seconds left of the show, and so we're going to have to squeeze in our favourite new segment. Game show.
Very nice.
Chris has won this game show twice in a row now. He's the carryover champion, but unfortunately he can't win due to not being here this week. But we do have Joel with us, and he's going to play Because I Like You So Much, Joel.
Yep.
Everyone's going to get 3 questions, except you as the special guest, because you're going to get 4.
Bloody so does that mean I'm more likely to win? I'm not sure about these rules.
You know what this game show thing is? This is Casey demonstrating... Just you know, which member?
Favorites.
Yeah, he has his favorites, Casey. Yeah. He's got his teacher's
Oh, this dance. Is the, what is this? The politics of your game show. You even, you know,
well, the politics
you even
of
analyze
left
your own shows, eh?
Is it politics when it's tyranny?
This week, we're going to be playing Name That Movie. I've got quotes from a number of movies.
Oh,
I'm going
so
to read
names.
You the quote, and you have to tell me the movie it's from. I do have my sound effects from last week still.
Good thing we did these earlier, hey?
Well, what do you mean?
Nah, just kidding.
Joel, I'm going to begin with you and then end on you as well.
Sure.
You've got a... this is your first one. Language warning.
How long do I have to answer it?
Until I get bored.
This had better not be what I think it is.
I'm sick of these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane. What movie is that from?
Go now?
Yep.
Snakes on a Plane. Oh, yeah.
This is...
Tim.
I should have got that question. I'm the one who likes Snakes on a Plane.
Tim, your first quote is, "Well, fortunately, small boys are extremely springy and elastic, so I think we'll put him in my special taffy pulling machine. That should do the trick."
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Correct.
Yes.
Mateo, what's yours? Okay, yours is, "We're going to need a bigger boat."
Oh, that's Jaws.
Strong start, everyone. Strong start. Let's go on to everyone's second question. Joel, yours is, "Want to know how I got these scars?"
The Dark Knight.
Yes. Tim, "The Force is with you, young Skywalker, but you are not a Jedi yet."
Ooh. I'm going to say Empire Strikes Back.
The correct answer was Star Wars Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back.
What the... I would like everybody to call in out there. You are a...
So, your second question is sad. You want to know what's sad? Six grown men playing dodgeball.
Dodgeball?
Oh, no, don't you...
The correct answer is Dodgeball, A True Underdog Story.
No, no, subtitles do not count. Subtitles do not count. This is bullshit, can I just say.
It's not your question time. Sorry, mate. You're just going to have to...
Joel, your third question is, we're going to die and I'm wearing my mother's underwear.
No, I don't know. I'm sorry.
Anyone else want to... No,
you
no?
just mark us wrong anyway.
The correct answer is Grease 2.
Wow.
Wow, can't believe I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
Tim, there is no right and wrong. There's only fun and boring.
I have nothing to say.
That was Hackers.
Right.
Mateo,
that's a great movie, yeah.
I'm still very angry.
Mateo, I'm getting too old for this.
What? What?
Out of the several thousand movies that could have appeared in, I'm going to say... Grumpy Old Men.
Correct answer was Elf. That was the character of Santa saying, I'm getting too old for this in the movie Elf.
That one specifically.
That was my second guess.
Yep. Joel's already won, but he's got one more question because I like him so much.
Sure. You sure you don't want the question?
What?
No. You wouldn't be able to answer your own question.
You get into punch-ups with other girls, you wipe your nose with your sleeve, you're my kind of chick. Why are we such a disaster together?
Fight Club?
Correct answer was Looking for Ella Brandy.
Okay, so we all got 2 points there.
No,
right?
No, no.
Because right? I answered 2 questions correctly. So did Mateo, and so did Joel. So, it's a tie.
No, that last one I got
tiebreaker,
right.
Tiebreaker, Casey. Come on, where's your tiebreaker?
So, at the end of game show, Joel has ended on 2 points, Tim and Mateo both on 1 point. Making Joel the special guest for today, the winner of...
This is a heinous miscarriage. Heinous miscarriage of justice. That's what this is.
Bad luck, Tim. Maybe next week.
We're out of time on this week's edition of The Left, The Right, and The Center with Joel.
It's not actually the name of the show. I'm going to mark you wrong for that one. Can you play the wrong sound effect there, Casey? Thank you. Thank you.
I still have the yodeling from last week, too.
Left, Right, and Center. News, Natto, Cultural Chatter.
Yes, that is our program description, too.
Wasn't my choice. Yet another way in which I've been shafted by my co-hosts.
This show has just turned into fighting at the end of every
Well, it's your fault. You are the cause of this, Casey.
I think we should make
what
our...
What is that? I think it's The Empire Strikes Back. No, it's Star Wars Episode 5. What is that?
I'm not feeling aggrieved, really. Even though
technically, you said the subtitle. That's the problem. You didn't say the actual title of the movie.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'd hand Mateo his point. Maybe we should have a tie-off between us, but...
No. How about this? I got 2 points before you two did, so how about I win?
I don't think that's how tie-breaks work, Tim.
What sport are you playing?
Wasn't the first
table tennis? Yeah.
Are you done?
Not even close.
Eventually we'll just switch his mic off.
Yeah.
Because we'll switch all our mics off.
This will continue when we go off air.